Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary in doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary in doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap now. Say, uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. We come to you each and every week with great guests about topic that makes a difference. The theme of our program is help change your life. And what better way to help change your life in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than to be armed and dangerous with information that people can use? Not just telling them stuff, but stuff that they can actually apply and make a difference in their lives and the life of their family and the life of their community. And it goes much further than that. It changed the set of a nation. And this morning, we'd like to continue that format here. We have a great man of God, a great visionary, a great worker in the kingdom. This brother comes on there and he shares with us information that we can apply in our own ministry, in our own personal life, to encourage us to keep doing what we do. He's no stranger to this internet program. He's been here before. So we're going to bring him on here and let him share with us what God is doing in his life. And also, we'd just like to make mention to this program is sponsored by Granny's Place, a nonprofit ministry. Granny's Place have a new name change. We're Granny Place Ministry. So I will start shifting the title of that to GP Ministry. And I'd like to thank you for being a part of GP Ministry. You can go to our website and see what else and all the things that we are doing. And we'll come back later and share some more information regarding the name change and the upcoming events and program on this show. Now, the next voice you'll hear will be our guest this morning. It'll be Michael Fleming. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Joel. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being aboard here. Thank you for the topics that we're going to discuss this morning. We're going to talk about some things concerning Dallas. Dallas Men's Against Abuse and the Anti-Poverty Coalition. Some things that's on our plate for this morning, along with some other things. But we just like to share with our listening audience who you are. Just introduce yourself, and then we'll just go from there.
Well, besides being a sinner in need of grace, I'm a very happy and honored person that God would see fit to take a sinful soul such as I and utilize me in the advancement of his kingdom and to share in efforts such as your ministry and reaching out to a dying world and providing salt to preserve things the way God intended. I'm the associate pastor and minister for Zion Chapel Primitive Baptist Church. I'm also our director for our Economic Development Corporation, Men's Ministry, and Community Development Outreach. And I'm a good friend of you, Joel, and
Amen.
Your ministries,
yes.
And trying to do what your mission and philosophy is all about, and that is touching and changing lives for the cause of Christ.
Okay. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And I know that you're very faithful at what you're doing. We've been doing this a long time, on and off the air, so I'm always encouraged to talk with you. And I'd love to have you to come on here and share with us what's going on. Now, tell us about the Dallas Men's Against Abuse program.
Well, you know, one of the things that I recognize is that, culture is not what we call static. It's dynamic. It's always in the process of changing. And, you know, our desire and our prayer is that culture will reflect the positive changes that are necessary to ensure the survival of a people by supporting the very foundation of any nation, and that is a family. But in today's culture, we have this, what we call this, here's a term that sometimes I find tongue-tying, this misogynistic culture, where the emphasis is on disrespecting and degrading our women, our mothers. And so it has resulted in kind of an attitude, especially among some men, where women are treated as objects and not as persons, that they're seen as a thing or something to be used something to get from, but not necessarily something to invest in. We see it in how our women are displayed in our media, the terms that we use to define and communicate to our women. And that has caused an increase in the kinds of what I call violent episodes where men, and when I mean violence and abuse, I don't necessarily always mean physical, because all too often we overlook the verbal and the psychological abuse that are manifested in relationships between men and women. And it knows no ethnic boundaries or limitations. It transcends all of our ethnic groups. And so the mayor has taken upon himself to use his office as a bully pulpit to set the stage and to call upon men to be real men, okay? And starting out by honoring women who are the cradle and the mothers of civilization. And so we're part of a national initiative that is focusing on raising our boys up in a culture of respect and to honor our women and to teach men ways of reflecting and manifesting the love that's necessary to cultivate strong families and strong relationships. So, like this morning, Verizon, the telecommunication company, is sponsoring a on behalf of Fathers Against Abuse, Fathers and Sons Against Abuse. They're sponsoring a father and son pancake breakfast this morning at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel downtown on High Street. It's open to the public. They've been marketing and advertising it. And it's to bring men together from all ethnic groups, all social, economic walks of life, so that we can begin to network and talk about this issue and to identify strategies and things that we can do to not only advocate for change, but to initiate the kinds of educational kinds of activities and programs and to do what we can to strengthen Dallas, to strengthen our communities by strengthening families through the education and the instilling of the values of honorable and healthy relationships between men and women. So I'm really excited to be a part of that. We're really calling on our faith-based communities and our pastors to take up the mantle on this issue and to look at how they can integrate this cause, this mission, within their church and their annual goals. So, you know, I'm very happy and thrilled to be able to share this through your program so that we can extend, our network and the market in which we hope to reach. Okay?
And that is so true. Now, Mike, this is very important. The time in the life of men here, because as we see at the news and throughout the country, how it seems to be an abusive and misuse of power for the men in the family, so it's a good time for us to bring that to the forefront and just speak on those issues there, because we all have mothers and sisters and daughters, and we do not want them to be abused, and we don't want to be an abuser also, and we have to be mindful of that. Sometimes, as God had created man, he told us to go and subdue, but we still have to be mindful that this is God's business. This is woman is creating God for God. God created the woman for to be assistant and helper to the man. And we should call them. We should have them to be on equal footing with us and not take advantage of them. So I thank you for what you're doing. Mike, because that's, and plus our young men, they need to know how to navigate difficult situations in their lives. A lot of times that I go down to the juveniles, and you can attest to that through your ministry, that young men and women do not know how to rationalize and think things through. They figure that this is all it's going to be, and I'm going to take care of this matter right now without thinking about the consequences.
Right. And, so much of the education that takes place among our youth occurs outside of what we call our traditional institutions of learning. And what I'm talking about is either through the culture of the streets, through your social affiliations and so forth, but also through our mass media, the TV. And, I'm keenly aware that over the last 30 35 or 40 years, there's been a major transition in what's being displayed on TV. Now, we used to have, you know, family-oriented programs, you know, Leave It to Beaver Lucy's Show and the Cosby Program and so forth. And all these programs displayed families in what I call a realistic and healthy way. But somewhere around, you know, between 69 and 70 and 73, there was a change where the emphasis was on entertainment and fun and the negative characters and distortion of the roles of men and families. And so our young people are watching these things on these programs, and you know, they spend so many hours in front of screens, and those screens display you know women as being an object of admiration from what we call an erotic state, only in terms of the physical pleasures that can be derived. I liken it to inanimate objects such as cars and phones. You know, those are objects that we purchase because we want to derive a certain amount of pleasure and satisfaction. It's a one-way transaction. I buy it because of how it benefits me, and I never think in terms of what I can do to benefit my car or my phone. And I'm not saying that all men or all boys do this. We're just saying that the numbers, the percentages of this objectification and this misogynistic attitude is increasing, and it's increasing in ways that are unhealthy for any society, be it black, white, Asian, Oriental. We're talking about people. So we need to begin to take back the means and the medians of education to ensure that our young people, our boys, know and respect women. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and I think it's in the book of Peter, where God makes this statement that I think is pretty profound, even though it sounds rather simple. And it says, husbands, or men, dwell with your wives in knowledge, which implies that there's something you need to know in order to understand, to reflect the wisdom necessary to be prosperous. To know requires an investigation, to take time to seek and to learn. We do that with everything else. I see men investing time to know about how their car runs and how to do repair work and how to, as they call it, to trick it out so that it looks enticing and beautiful. You know, they want to put these wheels on them and all these other gadgets, but they're always seeking to know what they can do to enhance these objects that can't really return any kind of appropriate investment to them. So I'm thinking, if we can care as much about an inanimate object and invest time, our finances, and resources to try to enhance it and make it look good, because we see a relationship, a connection between that object and us. Oh, yeah, that's my ride. It says something about me. Those are my shoes. They speak to the kind of man I am. Why would we not understand that how we treat our women and the relationship that we have with our women also says something about us? And right now it doesn't say too much that's very positive for some of us. So we're trying to correct that. And I commend the mayor and all of the other civic leaders and so forth and faith-based leaders who have taken up this mantle, lifting up the banner, and are trying to create an environment that's conducive for learning, which is a necessary prerequisite for change. So I'm really excited about it.
And you know, Mike, you really hit on some key points there, and how that we have to be mindful that these things that we're achieving here in the earthly realm, they're only temporal, but we should be striving for an eternal thing. And our young people need to know that. And you mentioned some TV show. This one show comes on, and it breaks my heart, called Modern Family. And that's the way that the media tries to see the families being fragmented, you know, with men living with men as a family and women living with women as a family. And our young men and women are getting out, they're suffering identity crisis But we that are strong and restored ought to be able to strengthen and encourage our young men and women that God expect great things out of them and how to navigate through these difficult points of life. You know, I do technical work, and my job caused me to go over to the juvenile center and do some work. And last week I had an opportunity to see some of the young men that I actually go minister to once a month, and they saw me in my professional arena, and they were fascinated, and they wanted to ask some questions about how did you get there, and what's going on, and how do you know how to do these things. And that's a topic that I'm going to touch on next time I go over to the center, because
Amen.
Our young
Amen.
Men need to see us. They need to see us not so much as sharing the gospel with them, but actually applying what we know in life, and then we can share the gospel with them, but show them that they could be very skillful and use their talent for good, as the Bible says, not for evil, to let them know that they have value and they have worked in society, and that they could
right.
be patient and waiting on God. But
That's
yet they
right.
need to see other men and women applying their gift, not just coming out there on the given time sharing with them about God, but about life experiences. You know, what to do when my wife and my girlfriend and me and my mother and them have disagreements? How do I handle that situation?
Yes,
and still be honorable and pleasing, and not be fragmented, because we know through life you can say certain things to people, and we're guilty if we don't put it in the right content that we break that relationship for years. Sometimes people have forgot what they were mad about; they just don't like it.
Yeah, well, you said some things that really hit home for me. Like these alternative lifestyles, that all things being equal and everything has the same type or kinds of value, which is simply not true. You know, I call it this culture of relativism, where it says there is no absolutes, where the standard is being lowered, and then we raise up something that says everything has equal value, that there's no difference between heterosexual or homosexual marriages and relationships, and we come up with these new terms like blended families, which is simply another way of saying that we want to get away from what we call traditional Judeo-Christian ethics and morals. And the thing that I think upsets me more than anything else is the lack of a voice, and I mean a majority voice, and a voice with bass and baritone in the public square about these issues and how they're being promulgated. Well, we have our children going to schools with their classes in home economics, where there are books that says Jim and Bill and Mary and Jane can provide just as much in a home and a family as a heterosexual couple. Now, I'm not knocking. Don't get me wrong. I love all people, okay? Christian or not, I would love all people. I respect all people. But to say that all things are the same is not true. It's like saying taking horse manure and bologna and putting it on my table and says that it's equal value. Well, that is not true. Some things are harmful. Some things are counterproductive to not only the maintenance of a society, but the sustaining of a society. And what happens is, when you lower the standard, then it's being replaced or filled, that vacuum is, by just about anything. And it's not by accident. It's a deliberate systemic agenda and plan to bring about this change in the structure of the family. And when you lower that standard and begin to alter the family, you get things like we have right now. The violence and the objectification and the inability to relate and communicate, And so, we got to get back to what I call fundamentals. I'm an old athlete, and I don't care how fancy your offense is with four or five receivers spread out, no backs in the backfield, or, uneven lines, all the trickery. I don't care what kind of defense you run, stunt, effects, and all this stuff. When it's all said and done, to be truly successful, you got to be fundamentally sound, and almost every coach at some point in time will go back to the basics. It's no different in life in terms of family and communities. There's some basic foundational structures that when you remove the pillar, you can build something, but it won't last very long because it can't sustain it. You know, so you know, shows like yours and efforts like the mayor, and there's some others. We're going to have a national speaker this morning who is part of a coalition of what I call power players, people who occupy positions in our society where they can command the limelight and where their voices can extend beyond the normal boundaries that many of us have. So I see that, and that's what it takes. It takes allegations. And what happens is you got people on both ends, and if you got something bad in the middle, you begin to press in, and pretty soon you squeeze it out, and that's what's happening right now. So I commend you for giving me the opportunity this morning to be able to share that. That's why I wanted to start the show off talking about that, because you know, without family, strong families, we won't have anybody to listen to these shows because they won't be interested in anything that has to do with what I call the ethical and moral issues that sustain our lives.
Well, thank you. And Mike, and as we're talking as this topic here, we just don't have enough time to you know, fully get involved in this topic. But I want to bring out and let you discuss this here about the one of the things that I see as being in an abusive situation, men being abused, is that we're not able to we're struggling with identity crisis, Mike, and self-worth. You know, when a person starts abusing someone else, they don't think very much of themselves. How can we as men change that the mindset of other men? I'm working on my end, but give me some tools to work with, because as I grew up, and you touched on that, we played sports. And sports was, and I share with y'all guys, that we play sports, and no matter how vicious the hit is or the injury on the field, the coaches and the team would tell us to shake it off, get up, you're not hurting. And we go through life refusing to be hurt, and so it causes us to hurt other people. I want you to feel my pain because I don't know how to express my weight. I don't know how to express this feeling that I'm feeling, the frustration. So I want you to feel frustrated, you know, because as we grew up, man, you know, gotta tell you, man, you know, shake that thing off. Don't be weak on this here. And that's the mindset our young people have. Hey, I don't want to show weakness, so I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to put on this armor, this fleshly armor to show that I'm a man, you know. I'm going to look like a man. I'm going to talk like a man. I'm going to act like a man, but we forget what men's are. Being a true man, I share with young men, is doing things honorable and pleasing to God. That's the makeup of a man to me.
Right. Well, you know, help me remember. You know, I'm an old man, so sometimes I'm overwhelmed with all the issues and then the ideals and the visions that God gives me through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's so overwhelming that I forget. But there's two things, and so help me remember those. One, we want to talk about the role of men as fathers. And then we want to talk about traditional roles in any society. Now, there's always been, you know, issues around the, you know, male aggression and dominance. That's why we talked about, you know, the chauvinistic culture in society. We know that throughout the history of the world, men have always taken the dominant role and have tried to take absolute power. And we know that power corrupts, absolute power corrupts. So when men have power and no checks and balances, and God and the Holy Spirit provides the checks and balances. So when you get away from God, then you get away from any restraints. Men cast off restraints, and they begin to seek more. And so it results in what we call a chauvinistic culture where abuses take place. Now, one of the ways that in society that we've attempted to deal with that, one, is by defining roles, clear roles. I remember reading somewhere once, and I think maybe recently in an article in the Dallas Morning News, and I say recently in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, is that men by nature are aggressive, and they are tool-wielding creatures who have to be domesticated. And that word domesticate means to take the fight out. But you know, more appropriately, it means to be able to train and educate so they can be channeled in ways that's constructive and not destructive. Okay? And so we had roles as hunters, providers, as defenders for protection, as teachers, instructors, teaching our children, then we can pass on those traditions. As society begins to change and focus more on individualism and self-pleasure and so forth, it undermines some of the very things that are necessary, not only for society, but to help control the aggression that they inherit in their own nature. So we would teach boys that your identity is not defined in the clothes that you wear, or the shoes on your feet, or the type of car that you drive, but it's the roles that you fulfill that contributes positively to family and the community and society as a whole. So as God told Adam, he put him in the garden and said, now cultivate and care for it. And the first thing he gave him was a job, to work. So work is essential. It is essential. You know, John Calvin, one of his major papers that he wrote in Theses in Calvinism was on honorable work, the role of work. Because oftentimes in our society, people look down on what we call menial tasks in work. You know, we want the high-paying jobs with the great positions that give us possession. But it is work, whether it's being a sanitation engineer, a construction worker, a roofer, a baker, or being a housekeeper. All those roles are determined by what's necessary in our society, in a particular society, and they vary. But they help define who we are. Because, as Maslow says, we all have a need to feel valued and to value, to have something contributed to us and to contribute something to other people. Well, then we have so many of our young men who are defined by, you know, the sports team they claim, whose name is on their tennis shoes, the size of the rims on their cars. And those things are not very good for identification, and they certainly don't lend themselves to what we call any real deep a sense of self-worth and self-value. Those are transient things, because the car that's valuable to me may not be the car that's valuable tomorrow. So we're always in a state of flux. There's no anchor for our soul in terms of who we are. So we need to get back to that. We need to get back to having rites of passages where we teach our young men the roles that are necessary and that they must fulfill to one, to have true worth and self-identity. And that comes from having fathers, dads. Now, not just a father who can create life, you know, who can physically be involved in the creation of life, but refuse to be Abba, Papa, Daddy, intimately involved in the raising of that life, the education of that life, and the investment of that life. In our communities, for instance, African-American, we're well in the high 70s and low 80s in terms of out-of-wedlock births and the number of children growing up in the single-parent homes where you have a mother or a sister or an aunt or a grandmother trying to teach a young boy how to be a man. A woman can talk about what she wants for a man, what she thinks a man needs to be, but she can't teach a boy how to be a man because she can't understand that there are some significant differences. I think those differences were manifested in a very popular book many years ago that was titled Women Are from Venus and Men Are from Mars. So we need to get fathers to be dads, to make a significant investment, not in objects, but in people, in their children, specifically in our young boys, so that they can have clear definitions of what a man's role is in our families and societies, and the value of that, and that his worth, his self-esteem, and his identity is tied to the relationship with his significant other, his wife, with his children, with his job, with his community. And that's where I think some of the initiative, when we talk about domestic violence and all that, that's what we're really talking about, is sitting down and identifying what has happened over the last 45 years. Where have we gone astray? And what are the basic things that we need to get back to and to instill into our young boys? Well, what we need to teach our young boys is to grow up and to value three things: the sanctity of family, of education, and self-determination. Okay? And having men teach boys how to grow up to be men, based on a necessary role in families. And as a result of that, it'll transcend into our communities and then into our society as a whole. I firmly believe that with all my heart.
Oh, but that is so true. That is so true. For men teaching men how to be better men than men teaching boys. You know, that's the theme of our program, A Help and Change a Life. You know, Mike, I didn't get here overnight. You didn't get here either. Someone taught us, you know, and we learned from our mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
But as someone had took me up under their wings, so to speak, and encouraged me through the word of God, man, and different men came into my life, and they was challenging me and encouraging me. I learned, you know, and then in turn, I have to teach someone else, my grandson. We know we listen to the records that they enjoy listening to, you know, the KZ and Lil Wayne, and I say, hey, you listen to him. You think people actually, you know, you think his mama's proud of him talking about women like that? You think he can get a suitable job looking like he do? I'm talking about just the persona that the entertainers have with the baggy jeans and all that. I said, they working. But what are you going to do to further your career? You can't be an entertainer like them. But what is your alternative? I talked to young men in the jail and juvenile or whatever, and I asked them, what would you like to do? What are your goals are? What are you planning on doing with the rest of your life? What are your career opportunities? And they talk about sports and being, you know, entertainers. I said, well, what happened if those things don't come about? Because there's only one Kobe Bryant. There's only one LeBron James. Have you thought about being a physician, a sports athlete? You know, you like it being in the sports arena, but the sports position careers is a lot longer than the LeBron James. They may play 15 years, but this sports athlete doctor, he have many clients, you know, from across the country, and so you know you can be very successful in things like that. But we have to be able to share with our young men that they have many opportunities, and they're not just limited by the things that they see and the things that they're exposed to. The world is broader than that. I had a young man, Mike, that I mentored some time ago, and he went into the service, and he called me from time to time and tell me about the places he's at and the things that he experienced. And he said, thank you for allowing me to do these things here because you encouraged me. You and some other people. I'm in Hawaii. I'm going to Germany. I've been to Alaska, you know, in places like that. And he said, man, I thought my life was, you know, was no bigger than my surroundings, South Dallas. I thought I was going to die in South Dallas, you know, but I got a chance to experience other parts of the world. Now, I may still die in South Dallas, but I got a chance to see the other things, and it add value to my life. And so what you're doing down at the Pancake Breakfast for Men and Sons at the Dallas Against Abuse, you're giving our young men an opportunity to see further than the here and now, giving them an opportunity to value the females in their life and to value life, and also to set the standard for other young men to come along and walk beside. So I want to thank you for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. You know, here's something, a concern I have. You mentioned about, you know, being exposed. We know that exposure is important, okay, exposure. And I remember that because that's part of what we do and some of the ministries have. You talk with one of my cohorts, Pastor Walt Smith, who, like you, is trying to spread the word. He does it through TV on our program called Do Something, where the focus is domestic violence and teen suicide and teen violence. But we do that because we're trying to reach the masses. Here's a problem that we all face, whether we're using radio or using TV, is that oftentimes the people who need to hear what we're talking about aren't in position to hear it, okay? Because of the culture that puts emphasis on entertainment and fun.
Yeah.
So like your program here now, we know that there's a dedicated audience of people, okay? But on Saturday afternoons when we do the TV show, that there's a dedicated group of people, our audience. But so many of the people that we need to reach either don't know or don't care. So one of the challenges that we're faced with is how do we take what we're doing and extend it into what I call
the natural venues, the places of habitation where people are hanging out and are in need of being exposed to something other than what they're seeing where they hang out. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, starting around verse 20, that I like because I think it's really powerful. It says that wisdom cries out in the streets and the public square, at the gates and the marketplaces. And it's emphasizing, it's being redundant in its attempt or efforts to make it clear that you got to be out where they are, okay? And so one of the things I like about your program is that you take your program to the streets. It's a mobile program. You're in Terrell. You're in different parts of the Metroplex and the outlying areas, okay? You partner with other programs and so forth, and you go where lost people, blind people, and hurting people exist. And when I talk about blind, I'm talking about not knowing, not having the truth, because facts and truths are different things. And so we have some facts, but facts don't always line up with the truth. And so we know that the truth sets you free, and then you're able to find yourself. You're no longer lost. And when you find yourself, you're able to find your place and your position in life. You understand that you have a purpose and that you exist for something greater than just self-pleasure, okay? We've got too many young men who are unemployed. You mentioned about our young men wanting to be, all they think about is being the next Kobe or the next rapper or the next, some type of entertainment star. And when I'm working with young people, I try to stress something. I say, you know what? If we have over 300 million people in this country, and let's say when we take out, you know, the elderly and those who are infirmed or impaired for some physiological or psychological reason, and those who are too young, we're talking about on the average maybe about 187 million working people. And when you take that and divide it by the total number of people in this country, you're talking about 0.5%, okay? That's working age. Now, if you take the number of entertainers, that's all professional sports and minor sports, okay, paid sports. Take all your movie stars and all your rappers, your entertainers, and you have really less than 5,000. But I'm going to give them 6,000. And you divide that by the 187,000 working age people. Man, that is 0.003. Okay? That's 3/1000. 3/1000 of 1%. So that means that the majority of people will never attain that level of success in the entertainment field. Yet we have so many of our young people spending the majority of their formative years and their productive acquisition years instead of finding and acquiring and learning a trade and something that has lifelong value and the potential for a productive payoff, to pursue something that they probably will never achieve. Then when they finally realize that that dream is a pipe dream, goes up in smoke or the bubble bursts, now you're 25 and 30, and now you don't want to go back to learn the basic, reading, writing, and arithmetic, okay? You dropped out of school your freshman year because you thought you were going to pay pro. Or you didn't. You dropped out of school in the ninth grade because you thought you were going to be the next bubble rapper or whatever it is. And so what happens is we wind up with this disproportionate number of young African-American and Hispanic males with nothing to do. And when there is jobs opening, they can't qualify because they don't have the necessary prerequisites. So that creates the potential for violence. You're hanging around, you're bored, you have nothing to do. So all these things play a part in what we are. There's so many things broken that need to be fixed. And for it to be fixed, it requires all of us coming together. Now, when I say all, I know it's not going to be everybody. But, man, there are a lot of people like you doing things that make a difference. Programs such as this and the TV show, its first aim is to let people know that you're not alone. That there are things happening all over the world, all over the country, all over the state, all over the county, all over your communities and neighborhoods. And as we begin to identify that,
we can all begin to look at and talk about how do we come together to form a collaborative effort to present a holistic picture of options and alternatives that can really make transformative impact on individuals, which then will transform relationships and families and then our homes. So, again,
true.
Yeah.
Now, Mike. Now, you know, as we was talking about the Men Against Abuse, you know, another thing that's falls along that line too is the Anti-Poverty Coalition. You know, because in a abusive situation and a fragmented family, they find themselves in a poverty-stricken condition, economically, educational-wise, or whatever it may be. Can you touch bases on that right there, the Anti-Poverty Coalition, which you're a part of, and share some light on that and give us some information that we can use regarding that?
Okay. Well, there are two things happening right now. One, the Anti-Poverty Commission or Coalition is a group of community and faith-based organizations and the state of Texas who have joined and formed partnerships. You know, we talk about our the Baylor School of Social Work, the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, and then many of our large community nonprofits, United Way, Jewish League and Federation of Women and the Methodist Society and so forth have come together to address those things in our community that drain or draw away resources. For instance, the proliferation of predatory lenders south of Interstate 30 here in the greater Metroplex area. The exorbitant rates that they charge for these payday loans and all these title loan companies who really are taking tens of millions of dollars out of communities who can least afford it. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's a lack of knowledge and education around those places. And the other has to do with the fact that there are a lack of traditional institutions who will provide a product or a service that is designed and conducive for the people in the area in which they are habitat. You know, you can't get small personal loans, signature loans. And many people south of I-30, especially in what we call the underserved and impoverished areas, don't have the jobs and the resources to handle these short-term crises and emergencies. And you can't go to your traditional commercial banks because they don't do them. So these payday loan and title loan places, they proliferate because there's a need, and they feel that need. Whether we like it, whether it's appropriate or not, they provide a viable service for people. So we're looking at how to not only educate people and educate our legislatures and our local officials to first pass some local ordinances that at least put some caps, some limitations on these lenders so that people don't find themselves entrapped and caught up in it, okay? And so we've been very successful. You know, we were able to get Dallas, one of the first major urban cities in the state of Texas, to initiate and pass some local ordinances, and we use it as a model as we began to work with some of the other surrounding municipalities and have had a great deal of success, the city of Garland and others. Hopefully, eventually, we may be successful in getting the state to initiate and enact some statewide. But that's one thing. The other thing is providing food resources, okay, and developing the infrastructures to create and provide access to fresh fruit and vegetables. We have a lot of pantries that provide dry foods, but it doesn't provide the balanced diet that people who are food challenged really need. Most of our markets, fresh fruit markets, are north of I-30. So we're looking at those kind of things and how to provide healthy diets and cooking in the kitchen and those things
by involving faith-based organizations, churches, and other community organizations to actually engage and look at what we can do to provide what we call basic necessities in the area of food for our people. Now, Dallas County Community College District, employers in the Metroplex, okay, school districts, faith-based organizations, and community organizations are coming together. Dallas County Community College District is represented by 7 community colleges. We have a new chancellor who is really committed to identifying and developing a mission statement that drives and directs what kind of educational curriculums and programs those 7 colleges will offer to the community in order to empower individuals and families to improve the quality of life. And they're working with employers, forming partnerships, and those kind of things, so that we can begin to look at how do we ensure that, first of all, any barriers and hurdles that impede our young people, our students, from having accessibility to educational resources and institutions to further their learning, to acquire the knowledge and the skills they need to be able to compete in a very competitive and technical world. How do we increase the number of pre-K teachers in order to give our children a chance to get involved on an early track for learning, to get exposed to things, and to create institutions for education. Excuse me, I'm on a radio program. Okay. To provide job readiness training, to identify the kinds of job related skills that will enhance their probability of being employed. We talked with employers who talk about they're looking for employees and they can't find them. Sometimes south of I-30 in our southwest cities such as Lancaster, Jacksonville, and DeSoto, because there's inadequate what? Access to public transportation. So these key institutions, our colleges, our secondary schools, our businesses, our employers, and our local municipalities, our governments, and then community and faith-based organizations are coming together to identify those and look at how can we actually begin to address the gaps that exist in our system that will enable everything to come together so that people can obtain the jobs that they need, earn a level of compensation sufficient enough to actually meet their needs, okay, and to grow our economic engine, not just for right now, but for our children and our children's children. You know, Dallas, of all the major metropolitans, I think there's only maybe about 3 or 4 other major cities. One of them I think is Detroit. That there are only about 3 or 4 cities that have a higher poverty level than we do. Now, we live in a state that has the number one job creation rate in the country. Well, over 8% of those jobs are minimum wage jobs. And to live in an area so rich, so corporately powerful, yet have people impoverished, you know, 1 out of 3, and so forth, is just absolutely ridiculous. Okay? Some of it has to do with this attitude in our culture, it's all about me, and I'm going to get mine, and you get your own, and not having no concern for your brother or for your neighbor. Okay? That's an impediment. You know, that hinders the formation of communities. Okay? And so Dallas County Community College District has identified some priorities, and they've selected me as one of the community-based or faith-based individuals who's responsible for disseminating information and identifying faith-based organizations and community organizations who want to partner with them in the pursuit of grants and also in the allocation of dollars they have within their own system allow to address some needs. And some of the immediate needs they want to address is the one like transportation. Because employers say, well, we got some jobs, but people can't get these jobs. They don't have access to transportation. So we're going to be talking about this month by having a series of meetings, and I'm going to be sending out information to people and so forth to talk about who within the community, churches, nonprofits, to have access to transportation, be it their church vans and charity vehicles, and how might we be able to contract with, or what can be done to take those existing tools and resources and form some kind of a systematic approach to utilize those in such a way that we can provide the means of transportation so that people can get these jobs. And the other thing is going to be allowing our pre-K for our children to get them a early or a head start in the learning process and so forth.
So, a lot of things going on.
Mike, would you able to give us some information so someone can give us a call to stay up on what's going on? They might want to be a part of it, get their church or their organization to be a part of it, or just be a part of it themselves. You have any contact numbers you're able to give us at this time?
Yes, most definitely. They can call me or reach me and leave a message at these two numbers, 214-900-4179 or 972-218-9789, and they can email me at mdflemons. That's M as in Michael, D as in David, F as in Frank, L as in Lima, E as in elephant, M as in Michael, O as in orange, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, mdflemons@hotmail.com. And I'd be more than happy to provide them with the PowerPoint presentations, Dallas County Community College prioritization list, and a wealth of other information and resources about the things that's going on, key contact persons, the meetings, and how they can get involved. It would be my pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. Mike, our show is about to come to an end, but we want to thank you for sharing that information. Well, we realize that you had another engagement this morning, but you took time out to come by and see about us, to be a part of our studio audience and to be a part of our program this morning. You know, you're a faithful listener, but you're not only a listener, but you also support what we're doing here. So thank you. You know, it's many, many topics that we can discuss, but thank you for sharing what you did today because it needed. It was a well-needed topic here. Dallas Men's Against Abuse, that's needed, man. And the Anti-Poverty Coalition, if someone is struggling with those two issues right now, man, but you gave them a foundation to build on, you gave them some information that they can use. Mike, as we get ready to get out of here, give us those words as brief as possible. People that wants to be, they want to make a difference in someone's life here, to encourage them to go beyond themselves, to help them to be able to help change a life in Jesus' name.
All right. And before I do that, Brother Joe, let me just real quickly. I regret that I didn't have time, and hopefully at some point I'll do that, to talk about the revenue sharing program, the charity program, where corporations are ready to make donations to churches and nonprofits such as yours to help support those ministries. We don't have the time to do it now, but, man, this is critical. So we're talking about $75 billion that has been put in the pool that we can now draw against. And so hopefully we'll be able to share that because it is providing a lifeline to programs who traditionally couldn't and didn't have access to this kind of money. But let's always keep in mind this, that God is faithful even when we are not faithful. And he will never allow us to be challenged or tested above or beyond anything that we're able to bear and handle. And so we must keep the faith, have the vision, and always pursue the greater good for those around us, and know that in the end, justice and righteousness will always prevail. Hope is a necessary commodity in anyone's life. Hope enables us to endure hardship, to persevere and to press on until the prize is won.
Hey, man, God bless you. Thank you very much. And, you know, as we get ready to wind down this program, we're speaking to Minister Michael Fleming, the Associate Minister over Zion Chapel Church in the Lancaster area. He gave us some information regarding the Dallas Men Against Abuse and also the Anti-Poverty Coalition. And we pray those numbers that he shared with us today, that you're able to use those numbers, that you're able to make a difference and an impact. We have a call on the line here. Mike, before we get out of here, we're going to just bring you on here because we have a person that we're going to see if they – good morning, caller. You on the net.
Good morning. This is Beverly Beasley.
Good morning, Beverly Beasley. Beverly Beasley is the CEO of Granny's Place. Thank you, Granny's Place Ministry. Thank you for calling. We have Minister Michael Fleming on the line. He was just talking about Men Against Abuse and the Anti-Poverty Coalition, some information that we could actually use. So he's still on the line.
We're
getting ready to get out of here in 4 minutes. So would you like to just say something regarding what we just discussed, or you just want to listen?
Oh, yeah, I was excited about what I've heard Mr. Fleming's talking about this morning, and I hope that Granny Space Ministries can work with him on some of these projects that he's been mentioning, because it sounds very exciting, especially the one dealing with the young men and the Poverty Coalition. I'm very excited to hear about these things.
Well, I'm glad, Beverly, I've been anxiously waiting to meet you. You know, I've heard.
Oh,
you got your hands involved in so many things, and one of the things I want to talk about is something that you're involved in, and that's one of the presidential initiatives you're involved in. You know what I'm talking about?
Because my head is a little advanced right now.
I'll give y'all those contact numbers here before we get ready to get out of here. We got three minutes here. Mike, thank you for what you're doing. We're going to pass that number along to Beverly. And Beverly, do you have anything you'd like to say to Mike before we end this portion of our interview?
No, I'm just so excited that he's on your show today and that he's working so hard in Jesus' name to help us help these young men become real men. So I'm very excited about what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and may God continue to bless us and you and have favor upon his in your ministries for the kingdom of God.
Amen, amen. We want to thank you, Brother Fleming, for being a guest on the program. You know, as always, you always have an invitation to come back and keep us updated to what's going on. And so we're looking forward to having you to be a part of what's happening in our program. I see our host just dropped off the line here. We're going to call her right back because we want her to talk about the upcoming program that's coming on. Now, Mike, as we get ready to depart here, we want you to be mindful of the information that you gathered today. Please bring it back and share with us what's going on so we too can be a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Amen. All right, I'll be more than happy. Amen.
All right, God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll talk with you later.
Thank you.
Oh, man, what a great interview that we had there with Mr. Fleming. Amen. God bless him. And we call it Beverly back up here right quick, and we want to get her on here. Good morning, Beverly. Beverly? Oh, we lost her again. Hello, Beverly? Oh, okay then. I see we lost her again. We're getting ready to get on out of here. But I wanted to make mention to the show, Beverly, unable to do it. We got a couple of other shows that's coming up here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a new program that's going to come on dealing with family issues here. It's called The Marriage Coach and The Marriage Counselor. We have a husband-wife team that's going to come on, and the time to be announced, but the date is going to be on a Thursday night, and they're dealing with anyone that have marriage issues or just concerned with their marriage. Please call in on the numbers that you always call in on. And also we have another program that's going to come up with my grandson, Doug Gregory. We call it Doug Gregory Show, and he's going to come on. He's going to talk about young men's issues and young people's issues. And so we ask you to be encouraged, and please stay tuned into this program. We expect for some great things to come about for the upcoming year regarding Granny's Place Ministry. Thank you, Minister Flemings, for being a guest on the program. Thank you, listening audience. I got quite a few calls on the keyboard, on the switchboard here. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. Tell someone about a program that's making a difference and help change a life. As we get ready to get out of here, we will never leave without saying a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what we have done today. We thank you for what we experienced. We thank you for our guest, dear Lord, as he came on and he's sharing with us some things, dear Lord, that's changing the hearts and the minds of your people's, God. How men are dealing with an abusive situation, dear Lord. Teach us how to navigate that through those difficult times of our life, through the word of God. We're talking about anti-poverty, dear Lord, but we know that you hold all power in your hand. We know that you own the cattle of a thousand here, dear Lord, but teach us, dear Lord. Teach us your ways and your precepts. Dear Lord, we pray for all our guests this morning. We pray for the listening audience. Dear Lord, we pray things go well with them. Help them, dear Lord, to come to the realization that you are Lord and you are Savior. Help them to be able to change their life in Jesus' name. And we pray these in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Everyone be encouraged and stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As we get ready to get out of here, we'll be back on next week, Lord willing, and we'll do the same thing with some more great guests. Amen.